So you told me you were drafted.
Yes.
You weren't enlisted, you were drafted.
Yes.
And that was?
July 2nd, 1941.
So when you got drafted, where did you go? I mean, because I know that some people...
I had my basics in Camp Grant, Illinois.
Yeah. Was there a physical that you went through first?
Yes, I went to Detroit, had a physical first.
Where was, is that up there by, Doug Island? Is it?
I don't know. It just goes there at night, I don't know where to...
Oh.
Yeah, physical at night. Not at night, but we went there at night, and next morning we had a physical.
There's a place, and I want to say, we kind of went by it. It's still there.
Is it?
And it's somewhere around Buck Island.
I live a long way.
Yeah. It's by, like, Detroit River.
I don't remember.
Yeah, we started somewhere by it. It was great.
So first we went to, we had to meet up the whole post office.
Where the museum is now?
Well, the old one is.
Yeah. Where the museum is.
Yeah,
where
the museum is. Then from there we took a bus and went to Detroit for our physical. Then after our physical, the following day, we were transferred to Camp Grant, Illinois for our basing. We were there for 3 months. Then,
When you were there, what were you taught? I mean, maneuvers?
We had calisthenics and maneuvers and hiking. Really, hiking and it was regular training.
Just like regular boot camp is now.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, yeah.
What's in training
like?
Is that on now?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, you're doing fine. You're doing fine. Let me
see. So after boot camp you went to?
After boot camp I was transferred to Fountain, Oregon, at the base hospital, and as a medic. And there I was trained to do different kind of bandages and different fractures. And after that, made me a ward boy. That's like a nurse, a head of a ward. That's like a head of a floor.
Mm-hmm.
I had 30 beds in there.
Was there certain victims that came into that?
Oh, that was for the base and the sick soldiers on the base. And after we had trained some of those, they were sent to different army bases for transfer for overseas. And after I was there, after I made a rank, then I was in charge of all the hospital, all the wards.
So you were a pretty big team, Matt.
Well,
you were important.
Yeah.
What was your ranking when you were at that hospital?
I was staff sergeant. That's why they made me in charge of all the wards.
How was the rooming there? Did you get your own little...
I had my own office, and the doctor and the nurse had their office. And every morning we would go around to our patients and take their blood pressure and their temperature. And if there had to be shots to be given, I have to give them the shots.
Did you have, like, a secretary or...?
No.
No,
I done
you
own,
did all the paperwork?
I did my own paperwork. I had my own ward boys. Ward boys were called nurses, just learning how to how to perform first aid.
Oh, that's interesting. War boys, huh?
Yeah, war boy. That was like a nurse starting out. And then after they were taught to learn everything, well, then they were shipped out, and another bunch would come in, and I'd have to do the same thing with them.
So nurses were trained, female nurses were trained there too?
There were the nurses. Oh yeah, we had nurses, female nurses in every ward, and doctors in every ward. And we went around every morning to, like I said, take their temperature and get their temperature and their blood pressure and their medication.
When you left, this is one question I was going to ask you. When you got drafted, what was the emotion of your mom and dad? Especially because you got drafted in July.
Yes.
Just before Pearl Harbor.
Yes.
What was your mom's reaction to you leaving?
She felt very bad because my father had passed away before that. Yeah.
So did you have brothers and sisters?
Oh, I had four sisters and three brothers.
And did they go into War too, or no?
No.
You were the oldest?
My oldest brother went in the Navy.
Did he see any action?
He was on the ship, yes, he's seen action.
So your mom, it was just her and your sister's
yes,
off.
She fell awfully bad.
She ranked your life.
My mother couldn't write too well, but my sister would write. She would tell my sister what to write, and my sister would write. And I'd read the letter about two times a week.
Wow.
Then I'd get a letter from my wife. I was married. I got married in Oregon.
You went out to Oregon and
I planned the marriage when he came out of furlough, and he didn't know it. And I had everything planned. He was having a picnic.
I came home from Oregon.
I had everything fixed for to get married.
So when you went into war, you had a girlfriend?
Sure, yes. Yeah.
You had a girlfriend?
We were engaged.
Oh, you were? Oh, see, girlfriend, she says engaged.
Yeah.
So when you came, when was it when he came home from furlough? When did you guys get married?
When you came home from furlough. I had everything planned for a wedding.
On May 15th. We got married on May 15th, 1943.
43. Well, that was before he went overseas?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And Judy was a year old before he ever seen her, because he was crossing over to India when I had the baby. I went back with him then, after we got married. Didn't know where we were going to stay.
I didn't see Judy for 13 months after. I never did see her until I got home.
So where were you living when he was...
Well, at first we stayed in a motel. Well, I had it made, boxes of candy, for a few days, and we were running out of money. So we got a place, and a lot of them was living in chicken coops. They were fixing up chicken coops for the boys and their husbands.
Where was that, at Oregon?
At Oregon, then she lived here.
And then you came back to Monroe?
Mm-hmm.
What, you went overseas?
And I was pregnant, and I came back.
Then you stayed with family?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with my mother, yeah.
Was this your family's house?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
History in this house, huh? Hmm. So when you left Oregon, you went to?
I went to Fresno, California. And then from there I was shipped to, I was transferred to overseas. But we landed, before we got to where we were going, they didn't tell us where we were going.
Why?
Well, when we were going, there were submarines.
Oh, my God.
Who were watching for us. It took us 31 days to get to where we were going. But we stopped 3 days in Sydney, California, Sydney, Australia, to refuel. We were there for 3 days. Then we went on to India. Mm-hmm. We didn't know where we were going. We landed in Bombay. Then we... At Bombay, we got onto a train, and when we got onto a train, there were so many natives hanging onto a train And what they were saying, Kana, Kana Sahib, Kana Malum Sahib, meaning to say, give us food, you understand me, mister. I didn't know there was a, then I was giving them all my rations, because I felt the first time I ever seen people suffer like that. I was giving them my ration, and finally I was getting hungry, so I had to quit. Yeah.
So when you got to Bombay,
that's where we had to train, and we went to our destination. We were stationed there for about, maybe 4 or 5 months. That's when I was transferred back, transferred to Baja, Burma, and Burma, India, Burma, China. And from there I went to, after about 4 months, 5 months there, where the war was over, that's when they bombed, that's when they had dropped the atomic bomb, then the war was over, about a month or so, they were sent back to Calcutta for interviews, coming home.
Being debriefed, or?
We got a ship in Calcutta, and on our way home we hit a typhoon. The tidal waves were about 30 feet high, and the boat was cracking. That was, it stayed like that for one night. And we thought sure we'd never make it, because the boat was rocking, and it was going nice straight up in the air and falling. Right? And they were always all told to get out on the bottom of the ship. So it was over. The next morning we got up and went up on the deck, and everything was just as calm as could be. Then we landed in New York by the Statue of Liberty. They transferred us to to get discharged.
Mm-hmm.
And then we came home.
That was it for you for the war, huh?
That was it. We came home, and I was very happy to get home.
I was with him for a year. We got married. I stayed with him for a year before he was sent over. I came home and I was pregnant.
When
about the time of just before the war ended in Oregon, it was just like a great big victory. And about 4 or 5 months after the war had ended, in that
that was in the
summer. Yeah, sure. But how long was it? Remember when that big V with the snow in the mountains, all the snow, and there was a great big perfect V up there. And just as plain as could be, we were coming from church one Sunday. That was weird, wasn't it? That was really.
You told me earlier your branch of military. What was it again?
61st Air Force. 506 Squadron, 61st Air Force. Then we belong, and after we were there a while, then they transferred us to the 10th Air Force. That was a large, real large Air Force.
What was your most vividest memory when you were in India? What seemed to stick out the most for you? Okay, you were saying about... actually, I don't know where we left off, but we'll go back to what you were just saying about the casualties that you had when you were in India.
Yeah.
Okay.
We just transferred them from Bombay to Calcutta at the General Hospital. And from there they were after they get well again, then they were back to their outfits, to their
And you had told me that you also worked on Chinese or Japanese?
Yeah, I worked on Indians. Researchers, and they'd come in, but well, they'd have all kinds of diseases. They'd have different cuts, and I'd have to suture them, but that got so bad after a while that they had to turn them away because they were lined up there by the hundreds in the mornings for getting lined up for medical treatment.
So the Indians, they didn't have no medical care?
They didn't have any,
and you guys were the first they ever even seen,
yeah,
huh?
Yes. They wanted to be taken care of, but we couldn't do it because there were too many of them coming in. Taking all our medical supplies.
Did you treat any prisoner of war?
No.
Never treated any?
No, never treated any.
Because I do recall in my book that I read that they did treat some of the German people, and when they were better, they got booted off to the POW camp.
Yes.
But you never had to do that?
No, I never had to. I never had it that hard in the service.
So your typical day, when you had wounded, did you work from morning till night to work on them, or?
Well, we'd take turns, and when we were on call and
So when you were on call, it was your turn to.
When I was on call, we'd do what we'd have to take care of the patients. That's at night. Well, there wasn't any doctors around at that time. We had to take care of them. If there was anyone come in with cuts or bandages, or had to be bandaged or sutures, we'd have to do that.
But a major thing after that, they just got shipped to Bombay?
Major things, then the doctor took care of them, and then we'd ship them over to sign them over to Calcutta.
Okay. Were you there for any holiday?
Well, I was there for Christmas. I was there for Christmas. Easter. They were all holidays.
Did you guys,
New Year's.
New Year's?
No. Never celebrated.
Never celebrated it?
No.
Just that you did?
No. Most of the time I was out in writing the letters out in the grass. It was so warm here during the winter, the winter months.
What
over
was
here.
So when it was winter here?
It was real warm over there.
What was their winters? Did they have a winter?
No, they never had.
No, it was always warm.
Yes. Then they hit the monsoon season, that was bad. It was raining all the time.
But
that,
warm?
That lasted for 3 months.
Were you there for that?
Yes.
So where was the fighting actually going on in India? Was it on the China border?
It was in Japan.
Oh. So anyone who... So you guys were in a safe zone?
We were safe, yes.
So really there was no fighting?
No action where we was at.
So you took everyone that was hurt in Japanese area that came to your medic?
Yes.
Was there any land fighting in China?
No. In China? No. Just China was really fighting with us.
What else?
I guess the most vivid thing was coming home and hitting that pontoon. You don't remember anything else.
Oh, yeah.
Remember anything else. It's the worst time to think we were going to make it. On our way up there, we didn't care because we didn't think we were going to make it back. But on our way home, we wanted to make it. We didn't think we were going to make it. We thought our ship would go down. It was General Anderson we were on.
Wait, you're on the Anderson?
General Anderson ship, yeah.
Was that a big one?
No, it was a small one. We only had about maybe 500 soldiers on it.
So you're all holding on for dear life, huh?
Oh, well, we sure were.
Well, you had to get, I mean, with what you're saying, the waves being as big as they were.
They were about 30 feet high, and the boat would go right straight up and fall down. You could hear it, boom. We thought you were breaking too. Some of them did.
Was there any other ship going with you back?
No, no.
You were just out there, you were the only ship out there coming home, huh?
Okay, and I go out there, we were on watch for submarines. It took us 31 days to get over there because we had to zigzag so much. And we were on watch at that time.
That
time, everything we'd see, we'd have to report into the bridge. And that took over.
Going back to that when you left, and you said you didn't know where you were going.
Right.
But since you left from California instead of New York,
yeah.
Did you feel that you were going to go to a place that wasn't going to be so bad?
Right.
Than if you left from New York?
Yes. We took the Pacific and came back on the Atlantic.
So, yeah. So you knew when you left from California, you weren't going to Europe.
Right. Yes.
But yet, if you left from California, wouldn't there have been a worse place to go to? I mean, would there have been any action if you left from California? Would there have been any war action?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
It was all in Europe.
Yes.
But you came back and you went through the Liberty. That had to be a great feeling to come back and see her standing there.
Oh, yes. We got off right next to them.
At Ellis Island? No, you didn't get off there.
No. The Friday mornings we could see. We could see the lights in New York when we were coming in.
Uh-huh.
And then we could see the Statue of Liberty and all my other stuff. It made us feel better.
Oh, yeah. the pictures that we looked at, one of them, I asked you what it was, and it was how they took care of their dead.
Oh, yes.
Was that the Indians, how they took care of their dead?
Yes.
They
cremated them.
I'll have to take that picture.
Well, you take all the pictures you want, once you get it.
And you said the weather when you were there.
Oh, right. When we first got there, it was 120 degrees.
Hot. We've never experienced weather like that again.
Oh, no. They only leave us there for, you just work about 10 minutes at a time, but in our tents up in our hospital. And they put another crew on because it's too hot and we're used to it. And the natives were in there.
They worked.
They were. They liked that kind of weather.
And one of your pictures, you had animals that you had. Pets.
I had a mongoose and I had a monkey. Pet monkey and pet mongoose. But the mongoose got away from me.
Oh.
And he would crawl all over me.
You
had a couple of
snakes too?
Oh, yeah, the girl.
Your shoes?
She went out to go from our tents to the hospital, or our tent that was raised the hospital. We walked through paths and the coral snakes. You could feel them jumping and hitting your boots. We had to wear high boots. And you feel them hitting your boots.
They were
deadly poisons.
Did anyone get?
They were only small, only about that long, orange and gray.
Did anyone get bit when you were there?
No. We wore high boots so they wouldn't get us. Then in India during that night, they crawl around in our barracks too, and they spawned poisonous spiders. They crawl into your shoes.
Oh. So anymore you had to pound out your shoes?
Oh, yeah, you had to look into your shoes. I had one in my shoe.
Never got bit though, huh?
No.
Wow. Was there any other, besides, I mean, you said the animals. Was there anything else animal-wise that was a threat?
All their cows and oxen were all sacred. You couldn't touch that.
Oh, man, and you're looking prime rib.
They were all starving, and they had thousands of cattle around there, but you couldn't touch them. You couldn't even... Oh, no, you couldn't touch what leg you eat. You really get after it. We're in the streets, you see all kinds of people, dead people. You know, it's starving to death.
But they couldn't touch any sacred animals or the cow.
They won't eat those animals because they would die from starvation.
How? Was there, did you ever have a hard time getting in supplies?
No, we had all the supplies we needed.
Decent food?
Well.
Didn't have no steers for cows.
No, we had plenty of food. And the natives, after we get through eating, then we had tents and mess halls. After we get through eating, and after they put the garbage out, the natives would come with these pails and pick up the garbage in the little pails and take them home. They'd be lined up there taking the garbage out.
So while you were over there, I'm assuming you had some kind of news or information on what was going on in Europe?
Oh, yeah.
And I know
that they keep us informed.
They kept you informed?
Oh, yes.
What was your feelings about what was going on over there with our men that were there and you were in India?
Yeah. Oh, that we felt bad about that because they were really going through
hell. Yeah, so many men. And
so many of them. I've had it pretty nice all the way through. There's times that it's really rough, but not like the boys in the fight.
So what were your rough times? What would that be?
So, I can't think of anything.
So, when you returned home, you came back to New York.